Hi, welcome to the program. Guess who I am? Yeah, that's right. It's me. Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. So last night, oh my, I have to share this with you. We have to do sharesies on this. I'm watching the news. I live in Massachusetts. I don't know if you know that. I'm raising my hand. I live in Massachusetts. It's fine. Don't worry. And I'm watching the news in Boston, the CBS local news in Boston. A fine organization. They do really, really well. So the sportscaster does his little thing. This is on last night's news. And then they go into back to the news desk where they report that there was a shooting. And very seriously, there was a shooting and a child was involved, I believe. And then they go to the weather. And for some reason, the weather guy makes an ass out of himself, and I don't know if it was on purpose or not. Listen to this. It's funny and amazing at the same time. Listen carefully.
All right, Danny, thanks. Still to come on this program, an 11-month-old shot inside a moving car in Philadelphia.
The latest on the baby's condition and how the shooting happened.
A couple shots at rain this week. I'll have all the timing in the forecast. See you in a few minutes.
An 11-year-old baby or 11-month-old baby, I wasn't really listening, is shot. Let's go to the weather. Couple of shots at rain this weekend. That's so insensitive. What are you, serious? Were you not listening? Oh, my God.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Oh, my God.
Good morning. Good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Thank you, sit down, we're going to start the show, sit down. That's enough. I like the music, but that's enough. Thank you so much for coming. I really didn't expect you this early, but I do what I can. I'm going to try to entertain you like a monkey on a stick. It'll be fun. Let's listen to that one more time because it's just so amazing. I don't even know what to say about it. Listen again.
Danny, thanks. Still to come on this program, an 11-month-old shot inside a moving car in Philadelphia.
The latest on the baby's condition and how the shooting happened.
A couple shots at rain this week. I'll have all the timing in the forecast. See you in a few minutes.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. I wonder if anybody's going to say anything. Wonder if someone's going to call the station. Can I speak to the asshole weatherman who said that, please? Not the best choice of words to talk about rain coming. Wow. All right, let's not milk this dry like a cow. How are you, by the way? You know, I talk for an incessant amount of time. Granted, it's fascinating and riveting. But I don't really let you talk at all. And that's by design. For years, oh, should I say years? No. For decades and decades, I did the morning talk show on a Boston radio station, a Boston Providence radio station. And I did like 7 in the morning until 10 in the morning or 6 until 9. I really don't remember. I did quite a few of them. And we did, people would call in and ask questions. And if we had a guest, people would call in and ask the guest a question. It was a call-in morning show. And I made a lot of nice friends. Sorry, I was clearing my nose. It wasn't a comment. I was just clearing my nose. But all I can say is, thank God I don't do that anymore. I was chastised by a lot of people, a lot of groups for things that I was saying. Callers would say things that were like absolutely absurdly ridiculous and totally off the mark of what was being discussed. It was a circus. It was a three-ring circus all squeezed into one big freaking ring. So thank God I don't do that anymore. So now I have the luxury of just doing this thing without your damn interference. Oh my God. Thank goodness this evolved to something like this. We also expanded our audience. I was doing the Boston Providence area. Now I'm doing the freaking world. I think I've talked about this before. We get results every single day of how many people are listening. Yeah, I know you're listening. I don't know your name or where you live. Well, actually, I do know where you live, but I don't know your name. I know what state you live in. We get numbers every single day of how many people listen in what states and in what countries. And I nearly defecated in my pants when I found out years ago that our show is very much listened to in other countries. And I couldn't fathom that. And I found that some of our best listenership comes out of the Scandinavian countries. The hell's that about? What do I do that's so Scandinavian? What do I do? I don't even know. But we have a large audience in that country. Weird stuff. Hawaii. What the hell are you listening to this for? You're growing macadamia nuts and running around with Lays over your necks. I'm in some kind of godforsaken paradise where if anything happens, you ain't getting off that island. There's no evacuation route out of Hawaii. Here comes a typhoon. What should we do? Let's get in the car and drive into the typhoon? I mean, like, where do we go? What's the evacuation route? But high listenership in Hawaii. Well, I did until I made that comment. Very, very odd to me. Very odd. So in the back of my mind, when I talk now and do this thing, I'm thinking of some Scandinavian guy walking around the streets with a 1980 Walkman or something. I don't even know if they had those back then. I have no concept of what I'm talking about. Anyway, welcome to the program. This is the Ron Van Dam Show. I don't do this alone. It sounds like I do, but there's many people behind me, not physically, but people that work on the show, and they're wonderful people in their own right. At least they tell me they are. So just a little shout out very, very quickly to John Shanahan, who writes much of the comedy in the spots that you hear, the funny commercials and the lead-in things, you know, and the openings and funny guy. And then there's, there's Nicole Reed. She books many of the national interviews that we do because I can't be bothered. I'm not exactly the kind of guy that likes to talk to people a lot. So she does that stuff, you know, on the national basis. And then, Jason Shaw, he writes the music that you hear in the background, most of it, wrote the opening theme. I mean, he's like dynamite. He's an incredible musician and performer, and he does that for this program and so much more. Thank you so much, Jason Shaw. And then there's some other people who do basically nothing, so I won't even mention them. And then there's you. You, the public, that contributes to public television, which has nothing to do with the show whatsoever. Why are you wasting your money on public television when you could be sending that money to me? Not as a salary, but as a funding mechanism. I don't know. I don't understand it myself. I don't understand the human race. I know I wouldn't donate to you. So I suppose I can understand your attitude, your lackluster feeling of, well, that's his problem kind of attitude, which I get. That's fine, no problem. I'll get beyond it. I really will. Oh my God. I think I said oh my God like 10 times today. This is incredible. I went to a brunch yesterday in a restaurant, and it was a jazz brunch. There was a jazz group. I love it. I go there a lot. While I eat my eggs, I can listen to jazz. I mean, seriously, what do we have to talk about here? Yesterday, this was weird. It's a funny story.
Okay, get comfortable, everybody. It's time for one of Ron's funny stories.
Listen to the music while I wipe my nose. Allergies, I have allergies. That's better. That's much better. All right, so here's the deal. So I go to this jazz brunch, and there's about 20 people there listening to the jazz, okay? And some there, and and the jazz group is there playing their music, and I'm bopping my head. You know, when you feel music, you tap your toes, you tap your fingers on the table, or you bop your head. And I was head bopping. I don't know, because tapping on the table makes noise. Tapping your feet, I guess it keeps you from getting leg cramps and all that, but it's tedious. I bop my head for no reason whatsoever to make it appear like I'm into something. And I am, but this is how I physically manifest it. Like some type of supernatural spirit that decides to make itself known. Similar, very, very similar to that. So I'm sitting there and bopping my head, and I notice out of the corner of my eye, which is where I notice most things, out of the corner of my eye. I don't do much through the actual eye itself, but a lot of shit's going on in the corner. I don't understand. It's conjunctivitis. I don't know what it is. I notice some lady all the way back in the room, like, you know, far away, like 30 feet away, and she's staring at me. Now, I know I'm fascinating to look at, but I'm thinking to myself, does she, like, know me from, like, when I did, like, television in the area, or does she listen to my show and sees my picture on the websites and stuff like that? I mean, but she's staring at me. That, or she is madly in love with me simply by appearance. I quickly start to tick it down to the point where I don't know why she's looking at me, because it could have been none of those reasons. And I look down at my plate. I eat a little more egg. I'm still bopping my head, and I take a gander over in the corner of the room with my eye again to see if she's still staring at me. And damn it, she is. Now, I know there's probably going to be no sex involved, especially just after I ate. That's the rule. You can't go swimming after you eat, and you can't have sex. Those two things are in the Bible. And it's the 11th commandment. They didn't have room on the tablet. They wrote it on the back, and nobody noticed it. No sex after eating. There's too much gas at play. You got to give me an hour to get rid of the gas here. Everything I eat makes gas, everything. I'm a walking propane tank. Once I eat, we're starting gas production here. We're fracking. We're fracking my ass, and gas is going to come out. That's no time for sex. I don't care if it's makeup sex, lust sex. It ain't happening until an hour after I eat, at least, sometimes 7 days. But she's staring at me, man. She's staring at me. So she raises her hand as she's staring at me, and she waves, but not one of these big waves like, you know, you're at a rock concert or something where you're waving your hand back and forth. It's like a little toodle wave where she's raising her hand and her little fingers are waving. It's one of those cute little come and get me kind of waves. You know what I'm saying, man? You know what I'm saying? And now I'm really inquisitive here. She's just staring right at me, waving at me. So I have to make a quick decision here. I have to make a very quick decision. My back's against the wall. An attractive woman from all the way across the room is staring at me and waving at me with the little finger wave, which means I'm cute. I'm not being obvious. I'm being sheepishly, sexily shy. Sexily, I don't know if that's a word. So I raise my hand slowly because I'm not sure I know what I'm doing here, and I toodaloo her back. I wave my fingers back at her, and she continues to stare. I lower my hand, and I'm thinking, what the hell is going on here? I turn my head behind me, and there's a woman sitting three tables away from me behind my back. I turn around, and she's waving back at that lady. Oh my God, I have officially become a member of the embarrassing, awkward asshole gang. I have embarrassed the house. She wasn't waving at me. She was waving at her friend at a table behind me. And I thought it was me, and I actually returned the wave. Oh, my God, douchebag, Hall of Fame, make room. I'm about to give my acceptance speech. Oh, my God. Now what do you do? Now what do you do? Do you just leave the place without paying the check? What do you do? I just swallowed it, man. I swallowed it, and I said, well, I've got too much gas anyway, so that wouldn't have worked out. She didn't recognize me from any place. That's okay. Probably that's a godsend right now. I did embarrass myself, but she doesn't know who I am. She doesn't know where I live. She knows nothing about me. I know nothing about her. No harm, no foul. I look like an awkward douchebag, but that's about as far as this is going to go. Or did she actually realize that I'm waving to my friend and look at that guy seated closer to me thinking that I'm waving at him? Oh, that's embarrassing for him. I feel so bad for him. Maybe I should have feel bad for him sex. No, it's not an hour yet after eating. I don't know how introspective people are. I'm guessing not at all. But that was a weird thing. I venture to say that for a long period of time, you see, we're creatures, we're human creatures of emotions and feelings, except for Donald Trump. He's never applied in that category at all, in any category. Always, whenever you're talking about somebody's personality, always take Donald Trump and shove him to the side like you're not even in play here. We're talking about people, not slugs. So anyway, people, you know, they react accordingly, of creatures of reaction, of action and reaction. I think that for a number of years, probably 3 or 4 years, if I see somebody waving at me, I'm not waving back anymore. I'm not going through that crap again. I'm not going through that embarrassing. Fool me once. Okay. Fool me twice. That's not good. I don't know. I don't know if that's the whole phrase. President Bush there, the George Bush knows the phrase. I don't. Anyway, oh my God, huh? So don't wave at me. I'm not going to wave back because I don't know who you are. And I'm not going through that again. I've had enough of that. Okay. And that's my funny story for today.
That was a really funny story, Ron. But then again, I'm in the third grade.
Oh, lower the bar.
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish or maybe bagel in the schmear, but you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing? You can't find those in the same place. Until now. I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knish and Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dancers. These girls are so nice, you'll plots, and they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her, so live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knish and Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
I don't think I'd be very good in a strip club. I've thought about that. I don't think I'd perform well as a client, as a customer. I think if I went into a strip club and I saw all these girls walking around without any clothes on, I'd probably say, excuse me, can I speak to the manager, please?
Yes, can I help you?
Yes, you know, this is disgusting. I'm sitting here and there's all these women walking around practically naked. I'm not complaining about that. I just think that, like, this is not really called for in a public place. Can you tell them to put some clothes on? Because all of the ones that come up to me are complaining that they're too cold. And I say, why don't you put some clothes on? And they say, I can't. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about. What's the problem with you? Let them put some clothes on. What kind of place is this?
It's a strip club.
Oh. Okay. Never mind. Yeah, I knew it was a strip club. I just don't understand it, that's all. Why are you making these people walk around without any clothes on? It's just wrong. And they're complaining that they're cold. It's not like they like it. Let them put a sweater on or something, or a scarf at least. Come on, man. I can't remember what celebrity it was, but one of them made a very, very astute observation about people that are in professions when you're nude and stuff like that, or when you're about to have sexual contact with somebody in a rompous kind of a situation, that seeing somebody totally naked is nice, but the real sexy thing is seeing somebody almost naked, where you have to use your imagination beyond what you see, where, you know, where they're dressing really sexy is sometimes sexier than not having any clothes on at all. Are you following me? Do you even care? Are you doing something else while I'm talking to you? How rude is that? Are you preparing your dinner or something? I don't know. I'm just saying, man, you know, let's come clean with a lot of this stuff. Transparency, too much, too much. Speaking of transparency, Donald Trump isn't transparent. He's incredibly stupid. There's a big difference between the two. He's not being transparent about all the stuff that he does by admitting the stupid things that he thinks he's getting away with. He's actually too stupid to know not to say that. That's not transparency. That's stupidity. Don't confuse the two. I say with a little laugh because it's just, at this point, it's so absurd. This Trump was going to clean the swamp. He is the most corrupt person on the planet, much less the president. Seriously, man. I don't care anymore. I do care. You've made me numb. You've taken away my ability to think clearly, which is, and then people give Trump the credit for manipulating our minds by throwing so much crap, so much feces at our face, that at a point you just go, whatever, he's a feces thrower. I don't know what I can do. No, throwing feces is not right. It's not proper. It's not in the Constitution. There's nothing about feces. You're not allowed to throw it at people continually and then get away with stuff because you've muddied up their glasses with feces. Is this not the most disgusting explanation for Trump you've ever heard? But it actually works. It's actually true. It is. Yeah. You probably don't realize that, but it is. It's true. Oh, God, I don't know. I really don't know. Can I borrow $10, by the way? I don't know if you're $10 that you can lend me, but that would be really, really nice, because I'm just numb. I'm just numb.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, the podcast world's version of painful itching and swelling. You know they sell a cream for that, right? It's over the counter. Works really well. I've had to use it a lot.
Hello, Heidi.
Hi, Ron. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you very much. Heidi Powell is an expert personal fitness trainer, health and wellness guru, and boy, I need your services right now because I'll tell you something. I have little motivation, and I need someone to kick me in the butt every once in a while to get me going. And also to be taking the right supplements and all that kind of stuff. So I'm looking to you today.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't have to pay you any money today, so this is good.
I'm here for you, Ron.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm just, you know, I'll guide you along the way, kick your butt. Virtual kick in the butt. we all need that, though. You're not alone. I think a lot of people think that just because I'm a fitness expert, I am super highly intrinsically motivated. But the reality is I struggle sometimes, too, just like everybody.
Yeah.
It's baby steps. Baby steps are a really, really important thing on anyone's journey, or else that mountain seems too big.
Now, you were on the show, you were on the show Extreme Weight Loss.
I was.
Yeah. And so you have a journey involved as well in this, which kind of is good because we can, like, relate at this point. Tell me about what you went through.
You know, well, okay, so my journey on Extreme Weight Loss, you know, I was on Extreme Weight Loss as the host of the show.
Right.
So my husband and I helped 76 people over 5 years lose hundreds of half their body weight over the course of a year.
Yeah.
Really, really, really fulfilling. And obviously we learned a lot from that, but I think where I learned the most is from my own personal experience. And for me, I was raised in a really fit family. So fitness and lifting and eating enough protein and low-fat foods, and it was like snack wells and all that stuff back in the day, was really a huge part of my lifestyle, which actually led to a pretty severe eating disorder that I went through from about 14 years old to 26, which was after I had my first two kids. And it was a battle for me. It was something I felt like I was stuck in for my entire, for the rest of my life. I didn't know if there was a way out. And it wasn't until I stopped, I kind of shifted my focus away from how I looked over to how I felt. I think so often, and this goes for anybody, it's like, you know, my journey, my anorexia and my bulimia was actually very similar to what the people on my show, our show, were going through. It's just my eating disorder, I could hide. And theirs, they couldn't. You know, theirs, they actually wore it every day in their clothes and how they looked. And they didn't feel good. And it's funny because the average person would look at me and be like, oh, my gosh, she has everything. She feels great. And I felt like crap, you know, and shifting away from and understanding that, hey, I can't starve myself to look good and expect to feel good. I need to feed my body real whole natural foods. I need to make sure I have the nutrients I need. I need to make sure I'm moving each day enough, not too much, to feel good. And so taking that inside out approach, when we feel good, it's a lot easier to look good. And even if we don't look as good as we thought we needed to look before, we don't care as much because it's really all about how we feel. And that's why, you know, the world is kind of shifting away from one W word over to the other. We're shifting away from weight loss and we're focusing more on wellness because wellness is the most important part. It's a holistic approach. It's not just single-sided. It's not just about how many calories we're burning. No, it's about how we feel and how we love ourselves and the commitments we make to ourselves. That's what really matters the most.
Absolutely. That goes right into mental health too. It's like total health, not just physical. When you look in the mirror in the morning and you like what you see, you're happy, and happy is mental health too. So it goes all the way. Let me tell you about a problem that I have. I do vitamins now and then, and I read articles that vitamins are nothing but colored urine after it's all said and done, and I go, that makes sense. And then on the other hand, I know my body and the way that I eat is not producing the vitamins that would make me the healthiest that I could be. And then I go to the pharmacy, and there's like 50 different types of them, and it's overwhelming, and therefore you don't do anything.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny. You just hit on a bunch of things that we talk about all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'll have to be honest. A lot of the supplements on that shelf, a lot of the brands, it might be colored urine. Like, you literally might just be buying things that you're peeing out, unfortunately. Because they don't have a super high standard of quality, you really have to make sure, for number one, when you're buying supplements, when you're buying vitamins, make sure it's a brand that is trusted. Make sure it's a brand that does their research. Make sure it's a brand that uses only the highest quality raw ingredients and has that good reputation for that. And most of the time, the brands that have been around for a long time, like GNC, they are going to be the ones that you know you can trust. A brand, if they're not good, if they don't use quality ingredients, they're not going to last. We know how, like, GNC's withstood the test of time, and I think that's really, really important when we're doing that. Now, as far as the confusion on the shelves, you say 50. I mean, I say there's like 100, 200 different bottles up there. And I was equally as confused when I started my wellness journey, and I knew I needed to supplement the foods that I ate. Now, vitamins aren't there to take place of the foods that you're eating, but they're there to fill the gaps. They're there to give us what we can't get from, you know, from the foods that we're eating.
Oh, yeah, I can't eat fish every day. I mean, I would probably like to, but that's probably not a great idea either. So you need something.
And, like, I mean, the cooking time. Who wants to cook fish every day? I don't, you know?
Well, you're busy. I got time.
I got four kids. I got four kids, Ron. I'm not cooking fish every day.
Okay, my apologies. But,
yeah, it is confusing. And so that's why it's important that we lean on the experts. I know we all want to become experts, and I think that's the goal. We all want customization, we want knowledge, and we want convenience, right? Like, those are the things I think as consumers we want the most.
Yeah.
So the knowledge will come, but it's important that we lean on the experts, we lean on the people that understand it the most, you know, to kind of create these things for us. And that's why I love what GNC is doing with their GNC For You product line. I mean, to have customized vitamin packs that I can go online, you can take a free quiz with 20 questions and have their scientists formulate a program for me. It's something that I know is going to be sent to me every single month. I don't have to think about it.
Because everybody is different. Some people need more supplements of one type than they do another for natural reasons and dietary reasons, all that kind of stuff, or whatever condition they may have. Not it's the medicine, but everybody's different. So that's a great service. We're running a little short of time, unfortunately. I could talk to you for 5 hours, but
I'm
not
allowed
to. I can't do it.
Oh,
though.
Come on.
All right. but where can I go?
We'll do this again.
Yeah. Where can I go for that information so that I can get this tailored for me?
Yeah. For a customized plan, actually take the free quiz, go to GNC, the number 4, the letter U.com. GNC4U.com.
Perfect.
You got to take it, Ron. Go do it today.
I will. Oh, God, don't threaten me. Okay.
You said you wanted someone to kick
your
butt.
Well, you just did. Ouch. Heidi Powell, thank you very much. How do we follow you and what you're doing there?
I am at HeidiPowell.net, and on social media, it's at Real Heidi Powell.
Cool.
Across Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
Wonderful. Hey, great speaking to you, Heidi.
Thank you, Ron.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that'll do it for me today. I think you're probably looking at your watch or your clock by now saying, isn't that it for you today? Aren't you going a little long here? So I will not bother you any longer. But here's the deal, man. If I leave, will you agree to come back tomorrow around the same time or any time during the day? I'll have a brand new show waiting for you. I will. I'll be up all night preparing it like some type of dinner for you, like a dinner party. It's waiting for you. And that's tomorrow. Until then, I wish you peace. Thank you so much.